Changed by the Holy Spirit. It's our title this day. We're thinking about the theme of becoming like Jesus, being conformed to His image. Change. Have you been changed? When I think of change, I think the term there is metamorphosis for all you scientists. And you've heard of metamorphic rock, have you not? How many know what metamorphic rock is? Very good. Yeah, rock that's been changed by fire, basically. Pressure and fire. So that it's completely different. It goes in sedimentary, it comes out whatever. I didn't prepare that part, but I do know, taking earth science, that there is a change. And we need to be changed. That's what really we're talking about here. Becoming like Jesus means to be changed, to be like Him. It's fairly obvious that if we're going to become like Jesus, then we must experience dynamic change. Not just change, but dynamic change. It's God's will not only to bring us into His image of His Son, but ultimately to progressively to change us in this life. So we're looking for one day we're going to be changed permanently in heaven. We will be like Him. We will see Him as He is. But now we're being changed. We're growing in grace. I hope you're changing for the better. Yes, experiencing God and being changed by God really means to see His glory and to experience His glory and be changed from the inside out. Dynamic, metamorphic change. And so our main verse today says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror," this is verse 18, "beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed," there's your word, "being changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Changed by God's Spirit. Transformed. So the Holy Spirit brings inner change in our lives. If you are desirous of becoming more like Jesus, you need to fall in love with Jesus and you need to get involved with the Spirit of Christ in your life. You need to become changed by the Spirit. How was John changed? The Apostle John, in John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh." We're used to this. We use this verse at Christmas time. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." Beholding God's glory. Did that just happen with the disciples? They just spent time with Jesus. They beheld His glory for 3 years. They were changed, and then they went out into the world. But the rest of us, we have to get along as best as we can. Is that right? No. We too can be changed. We too can behold the glory of the Lord. How did the disciples behold His glory? Well, it says in 1 John 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that we that which we have seen and heard declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. You too! You too, John says, can have this change, this fellowship. How? Pastor, tell me how I can be changed. Well, it tells us right there, to hear Him, that which we heard from the beginning, which we have heard. I wonder, do you get into God's Word and do you hear His still, small voice speaking to you? You say you don't believe that stuff, do you? Well, this morning I heard that Joshua, he didn't listen to God. He wasn't in tune with God. And because he wasn't in tune with God, they lost at Ai. And then after they lost at Ai, they finally won. But they learned that they had to listen to God. And then what did they do? They went as far as... Now, if Rich is right in his teaching, and we did get the Word of God out, didn't we, Rich? So isn't the gospel according to Rich Blake. We found out the Gibeonites. They lived only a few miles away. They came, they deceived the Israelites. They didn't talk. The Israelites didn't talk to God about it. And what happened? They fell right in the same thing again. You see, God wants to speak to you. You can be deceived just like the Israelites are deceived. I can be deceived. We need to get into God's Word. We need to hear Him. We need to get into God's Word and we need to see Him. That which we have seen with our eyes. Okay? We're talking about beholding His glory. We have touched Him. You see, that's one thing we can't do, Pastor. We can't, you know, I can't hug Jesus. Well, you can hug Jesus. He can put His arms around you. Maybe not literally, but figuratively, you can be loved and hugged by Jesus. You can feel God's touch in your life when you get into God's Word. You can bear witness of eternal life. You see, the disciples came to know Jesus as Savior. They came to know the life-giving power of God in their lives, and they began to share that with others. And so we need to do the same. Behold His glory and the glory of eternal life in Him. And then the last thing it says there, they beheld this fellowship and they had fellowship. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. To have fellowship. That isn't just in church. That's with God. Have you had fellowship with God this past week? Have you spent time with Him? Have you communed with Him? You see, that's what it's all about. That's what growing in grace is all about. Getting intimately involved with God in your life. And God can do it by His Spirit. To behold God's glory is to become like Jesus through God's Spirit. Changed by the Spirit. You know, it's an interchange. It's It's something that happens inside, but it shows on the outside. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. How can we be changed by God's Spirit? Well, number one, we can be changed because God is the Spirit. Notice it says there in verse 17a, it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit." The Spirit of God is Lord. This is God working in you. God's Spirit's working. No sinner can turn to Christ apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So you need Christ in your life, first of all, to be saved, and second of all, to grow, to begin to prosper spiritually. You say, "I'm not sure the Spirit is God, Pastor." Well, right here, the Lord is the Spirit. Here we see it, okay? But we also see in Acts chapter 5, verse 3, it says Ananias, this is with Ananias and Sapphira. You remember what happened to them? They lied about how much they'd given to God. And Ananias came in, and Peter said to Ananias, "Did you give so-and-so?" "Yes, I gave so-and-so," and he dropped dead like that. He says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." Do you hear that? You lied to the Holy Spirit. You haven't lied to men. You've lied to God. God and the Holy Spirit are one. Co-equal. Together. This is important. Matthew chapter 28. Great commission. The Great Commission. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them," how? "In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit." All same verse, co-equal together. So, when we baptize people here, we baptize them not three times. We don't dunk them three times. But we do baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we can be changed by the Spirit because the Spirit's co-equal with the Father and the Son. And then we find also in verse 17 that the Spirit is the Lord and that He also brings liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, the big question here in these verses was about the Judaizers. The Judaizers had come in to the church at Corinth, and they wanted the church to go back under the law. And so Paul here, talking to the church, says, he says, "Don't go back under the law because the law brings slavery. You don't need to go back under the law. You're not slaves. In fact, you're free. There's liberty in Christ." Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." Aren't you glad you don't receive the spirit of slavery, of coming underneath this power, this bondage? You're free! I'm thankful we're a free people. We're becoming less and less free. I don't know if you noticed that, but it seems that what we do, what we say, the government wants to tell us everything. Well, I'm keeping my shotgun. Now, some of you don't like guns, but you will when they come to your door. And so, we need freedom. One of the things guns, shotguns do is that they give you freedom. You come and talk to me about that if you have any questions, okay? But I'm thankful that, God's Spirit brings even more freedom than guns. Aren't that you? It does. And so, the spirit of adoption is so much better than the spirit of bondage. So we're changed by the Spirit because the Spirit is Lord. He's God. He's called God. We're also changed by the Spirit from glory to glory. Now this is referring to back in the Old Testament in Exodus, where Moses went up on Mount Sinai and received the law. And one of the things that happened when he went up and received the law was that the glory, he was talking to God and he was so close to God that God's glory shone on him and his face began to glow like a light bulb. What would you do if I started to glow like a light bulb? You'd go, ho, I'm out of here. That's what you do, and that's what happened to the Israelites. They were afraid of Moses. And so Moses veiled his face because he did not want the Israelites to see that he was slowly losing this glow from the glory of God. Slowly, and he represented God, and he didn't want people to see that God's glory was receding from him. Ah, we have it so much better. Moses' face was veiled. But our faces are gaining in glory. Our lives are gaining in glory. The Spirit imparts a more excellent and it lasts longer. It's going to last forever. As you grow in grace, the glory of God is shining more and more in your life. Isn't that exciting? And people aren't afraid of you. They shouldn't be. They ought to be drawn to you. Yes. Unveiled faces. Open faces. Glory to glory. Gaining glory in your life. I wonder, are you gaining glory? Are you losing glory? When you trust Christ as Savior, you have God's glory in your heart and in your life. And as you continue, the Spirit of God grows and continues to work in your life, that glory glows more and more. It goes on to say there, you behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. With open face, beholding as in a glass. A better translation there is beholding as in a mirror. Okay? A mirror glass. A reflection glass. Now when the Bible talks about beholding in a mirror, talks about a mirror, it's talking about God's Word. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror." There it is. Okay? "For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." You see, as you look into the mirror, as you get into God's Word, God speaks to you and he tells you about your life. What happens when you look in the mirror in the morning, ladies? You go, ah! Is that what you do? No, you begin to make changes, don't you? I mean, I can't even, if I don't get in the bathroom before Filene, it's all over. And we almost have to set up a schedule. Okay? Any of you men have that problem? Now, some of you have more than one bathroom. That's a good thing, okay? Or at least two sinks. All right, I've seen that. We got one bathroom, one sink, one schedule, and guess what? If she's there, it's all over for me. Okay? Because she's looking in the mirror. When you look into the mirror of God's Word, you see yourself as you are. You're either doer of it or you're not. I wonder, are you a doer of the Word or are you just a hearer? Do you come to church and you say, man, Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon. I just love to hear you preach. Oh, that's great. I'm glad you love to hear me preach. Actually, I'm not that good. Wouldn't you agree? Okay? Much better to get in and read it. Okay? Be a doer. Not just a hearer. Okay? Because this will actually change your life. We are being changed to be more like Jesus as we get in and we look into this mirror. God's Word. Oh, are you becoming more like Jesus because you're getting into the Word? Are you listening to Him? Are you hearing Him speak to you? Are you being changed into the same image? Are you being changed to be like Jesus? We're changed by the Spirit of the Lord. Because God is Lord, we're being changed by the Spirit from glory to glory, and we're being changed into the same Spirit. Notice it says that we have the same image from glory to glory. When you trust Christ as Savior, there is kind of a, not only is there a veil that kind of is lifted from your life. You see, those that know not the Savior, the Bible says that there's a veil over their veil. They're blind as to what God wants. They're blind as to God's Word. Look at chapter 4, verse 4 here of 2 Corinthians. In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, that's why it's so important that you know Christ as Savior. If you've never trusted Christ, you probably have feel this way about the Bible. It's an old book. I don't understand it. I start to read in Genesis. I get halfway through Genesis, and it just, when we get in who begot who, I can't understand it. So I just quit. How many have gotten about that far? Or you got into the law and you said, man, this is old. I don't know why I'm here. Why am I reading this book? Well, it's because you've been blinded. You don't understand who God is. You don't understand about His Word. You don't understand about His plan for your life. You're blind. Now, I have not been around too many blind people in my life. But I do notice them when I'm driving my car and they have this little special cane. Have you noticed them? And they're walking right along, and they got this cane, and they're poking it out there. And all of a sudden, they hit the curb, and then they stop, and It's amazing how, really, how well they do with that cane. Have you noticed that? They can walk almost as good as you and I that can see. But they're blind. Someone has said the way to really discipline a blind person is to rearrange the furniture in their bedroom. Right? Not good. Because you get used to a certain place and you begin so many steps this way and that way. But when you change things around, they have trouble. And it's here the same as the scriptures. When they don't understand, when they're blind, you'd understand things like who God is and what is His purpose in your life. Oh, but when you trust Christ as Savior, the blindness of the mind is lifted, and the light of the glorious gospel shines. And that's why people said, I saw the light. You've heard that term. The light of the glorious gospel. What is the glorious gospel? Well, we sang this morning about the gospel. Did you hear it? Yeah, living He loved me, dying He saved me. We went through the whole gospel in a nutshell, but that's taken out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received." Here's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There it is. That's the gospel. What does that tell you? Well, Christ died for our sins. Tells us a lot about ourselves, doesn't it? We are sinners. One of the things you have to deal with before you can come to Christ, you need to deal with your sin. Okay? You need to admit to God, God, I'm a sinner. You died for my sin. I'm accepting your payment for my sin. That's important. If you don't get to that point, then you still have your sin. And then you begin to realize that He was buried. He buried our sins in the depths of the deepest sea. And He rose again. There's a newness of life in Christ. You can have newness of life. Jesus Christ was the first fruits of those that believe. He is the first one to rise again. But one day, if you know Christ, you're going to rise again. You're going to have a great resurrection. There's going to be a great getting up morning. And you're going to go up in the air with Jesus. I'm looking forward to that day. That's the gospel. That's the light of the glorious gospel. Have you seen it? Has it changed you? You see, that's so important. To be changed by the Spirit of God, to understand, to have your mind opened up, to be able to see, to have the blindness lifted. And secondly, I believe that God has us here for a purpose. And that is the light of the gospel should shine unto them. How does the gospel shine to people today? Oh, they just open the Bible and they go, think I'll go right there on that verse. Yes, that's my verse for today. Is that how people get saved? No. You won't be able to find out anything about God much by trying to find out His plan by just trying to pick a verse. No, it's Christians living the gospel. You actually become the light. Isn't that something? You're saved by the light. Jesus Christ is the light. And then you become a light to others. It says there in verse 6, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So God has shone in our hearts, and then we shine. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works," and what? "Glorify your Father which is in heaven." You become a living epistle. Paul said that. You become a living epistle that people read, they understand about God by your life. And they begin to ask questions because they say, there's something different. There's something about this person that, well, they're not like others that I know. I'd like to know more. I tell you, when people come asking you questions about your life, you are letting the light of God shine. You are opening up your heart to them. And you will see God do amazing things through you. Let your light shine! So, is God changing you? Are you beholding the glory of God daily in your life? Is God's light, glorious light, illuminating your heart and life by His Spirit? These are good questions. If not, why not? So I want to encourage you, we think about becoming like Jesus, that there's just a lot more than just your life and how you are growing and how you are someday going to be with Jesus in heaven. And you are going to be with Jesus. It's about ministry. It's about others coming to know Christ. You know, if others don't know, come to know Christ, what good are, what are we doing here? I mean, God could have, when you got saved, He could have taken you right to heaven right then, right? Why do you think He lets you hang around? Oh, it's because I'm such a wonderful person. No. No. It's because He has a job for you. You have a ministry. Paul said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. What is your ministry? Share the love of Christ to others. We do it God's way, Paul says. We've renounced hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That means living for God in front of them and being changed from within so that they can see this change. Are you being changed? Are you changed by the Spirit of God because He's Lord and He is changing you? Are you being changed from glory to glory? Changed from the inside out to be more like Jesus? Are you being changed by the Spirit into the same image? The gospel of Christ. Changing you. I trust that you are. Let's go to prayer, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are so patient with us. We have to admit that, God, we're not all that we should be. Lord, we're thankful that You are growing us in Christ. Lord, I pray that you might help today. Help us to shine for Jesus. To shine in the midst of a dark world, that others might see Christ. And I pray especially for anyone here that has never trusted Christ. They're still blinded. The God of this world has blinded their hearts and their minds. God, would you lift that blindness? Would you unveil their hearts? Lord, would you help them to see that they need the gospel of Christ in their life? Thank you, God, for the changes you're making in our lives. We pray that, God, as a church, we might be changing, be growing for you. And we might be encouraging one another in the things of God. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.